Welcome back to another episode of the 5-8 Take. This week, we have a very special guest by the name of Jacob Malcoon. Jacob is an Australian mixed martial artist currently fighting in the UFC middleweight division. He's had some controversial wins, which we will get to, and also a controversial loss, which we also decipher in this episode and get his thoughts as to what he was thinking at the time. He was punching, essentially had this guy in turtle position and he threw a punch and the guy essentially was looking for a way out. We discuss that fight. We also discuss his back and forth with Bo Nickel, as well as his upbringing from being a fat kid playing NRL to now being at the height of combat sports. This is an awesome episode that I know you guys will enjoy, but before we get there, just a few words from our sponsors. Go to loanoptions.ai/58 to support the show. If you're looking for a loan, whether it's personal, business, or even home loan, go to loanoptions.ai. They will have you covered. This is the best platform in Australia for all your loan needs. You put in your details, they'll give you a range of different options, and they'll also assist you in facilitating that loan. Go to loanoptions.ai. They also support the jiu-jitsu and combat sports community. I've trained with Julian, the owner of the business. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal human being. And this business is not only a fantastic, best-in-class platform, but also they are a supporter of the show and the sport. Go to loanoptions.ai/58. This episode is also brought to you by Ancestral Nutrition. Ancestral Nutrition is my go-to when it comes to beef liver capsules. I was looking for an alternative to just eating direct beef liver when I was on my carnivore diet. Beef liver needs to be a staple of anyone's diet. So when I found these guys and I saw that they did 100% Australian organic beef liver capsules, it was a no-brainer for me and I haven't looked back since. It's part of my stack. I have it in the morning with my breakfast. They also have heart and other organs as capsules. For me, I just prefer the beef liver capsules. The description is below. Go check them out. They give you your money back guaranteed. So it's a no-brainer. Give it a try, especially if you have low energy levels. Beef liver really assisted me, my B vitamins, and getting my energy levels up to where it should be. Ancestral Nutrition, you can use code DIOGO10, I believe, but all the details will be in the description. Without further ado, let's get into the episode.
You're listening to the 5-8 Take.
Bro, I never pictured you as a fat kid, eh?
Yeah, I was fat. I was fat until like probably 21, 22.
21, 22?
Yeah, I was fat.
But like, why? Like, is
I
it
love food. You know what I mean? I didn't care. You just liked it.
You just ate anything. Yeah. Like, anything.
I wouldn't go to McDonald's unless I had like 4 or 5 burgers.
What was your go-to?
I used to always get the double quarter pounder, triple cheeseburger, probably a Big Mac.
And how'd you switch? Like, how did the discipline come in?
When I was like 18, 19, I remember I was training MMA and I wanted to fight. I kept telling the coach, I'm like, man, I want to fight. And he got me one. It was 6 weeks out from a fight. I go, what weight? He goes, 93. I go, yeah, I'll make it. How much do you weigh? I said, oh, I think 102, 103. I went home, weighed myself. I remember 110. Like, after training, so after all the sweats, I was like, ah, oh, man. I said, nah, I got to fight. I want to fight. So I just dieted. I got down. And then after the fight, I got back up to like 107 again.
And how old were you here?
18, 19.
110 kilos at 18.
I was 109, year 8. I was big, man. I used to love food.
How, so the weight cut. So the fight came up. You got 6 weeks to go, and then you're going to cut weight. What did you do? Because that's – did you just go cold turkey? Like, I'm not gonna eat, and I'm going to train hard.
Yeah, no, I was training. But I was like, I'll go to train. Because I was working the market. I was doing just like while I was at uni.
Yeah.
So I was working the market. I'll come back. I'll have like one cup of rice in the microwave cups.
Yeah.
Just have one on its own. And I'll sit there, have a piece of fruit. Then I'll go to training, come home, have protein shake.
Yeah.
And probably like a piece of meat. I was doing that every day. I remember I had 5 kilos left the day before the day of the weigh-in. And I was in the sauna for like 7 hours. I made the weight, but I stopped sweating. My body, look how much weight I lost in
a
short period. But then I put it back on. And then they said, all right, you're fighting at 90. And I dropped to 90. And then I went up to like 101. And then dropped down to 90. And then I started walking around 98. And I just kept going. You know. And I don't know, I got disciplined up. I still wasn't that disciplined to like probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Still a fat kid in here. Yeah, I'm still a fat kid.
Did you go to like gym as well? Were you going gym or just MMA? Or jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts?
Yeah, the MMA. Like, if I didn't start doing MMA, I'd probably still be fat.
You know
what I mean? That's what kept me. And like now, to be honest, now, even when I'm not, I used to always think I'd be fat when I retire. But I won't be, because when I don't train as much, I don't eat as much, I don't enjoy it.
Well, you reckon you're going to be one of those that retire and there's like, you know, they just bulk out.
Man, I don't know. I think I might have like a dad bod. It'll be like fit, but
I got one of them right now.
I'm still from England.
Yeah, bro. I'm asking these questions because I'm wondering how I cut to get back there. What's your go-to now, like after a fight?
I like McDonald's.
McDonald's.
I love McDonald's. But like, when I'm over in the States, like Five Guys and In-N-Out, I like burgers and chips and stuff.
There's a big big question there. What's better, Five Guys, In-N-Out? So what do you reckon is the best go-to burger shop in the United States?
It's hard. Because I didn't get In-N-Out last time.
You're going to break a lot of hearts here.
Man, I didn't get In-N-Out. I had it because they don't have In-N-Out on the East Coast, eh?
In the East Coast? Yeah. They don't?
They don't have it In-N-Out. Because I was there, they didn't have it. So there was only Five Guys.
The
last burger I had was Five Guys. That was, man, good. Good. So I want to go with Five Guys.
Yeah, I had Five Guys in Dubai just gone. And, they cost an arm and a leg for a burger, bro.
It's expensive,
right? It's outrageous. It's like, it's just, you know, meat in a bun and it's smashed patties, but sure, but don't take my arm with it, you know what I mean?
I think on my own I spent, because I bought 4 burgers, right, and chips after, I spent like, it was like 100 and some bucks. It was expensive, eh?
It's outrageous, bro. It gets outrageous. And then after your fight, what do you go to now? What do you go to? I heard you pizza and Coke is the chatter.
No, not pizza. After the fight is not. I don't go crazy like I used to, like straight away.
Yeah,
but the morning, like pancakes and bacon, maple syrup, all that stuff after. That tastes good,
bro. Tell me, what is going on with this thing about you being an IT guy?
The IT guy? Oh, man, I don't think
What is going on? What is going on? Are you around here fixing computers?
Man, I don't even have a laptop at home. I'm the worst with technology, but for now, I'm an IT guy. Let's pretend I'm an IT guy for now.
We're pretending?
Pretending now. Bo Nickel. He's
Yeah, because I heard you hacked the UFC mainframe and you got the pre-release poster of your signing.
Man, I thought it was signed, man. I thought it was done deal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was already signed in the UFC and you grabbed it and you posted it and then their butt heard about it.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a done deal. I thought 100% we're fighting June 1st, but, you know, then they messaged me. I heard otherwise. They said, no, we're not fighting him.
Is he scared?
I think so. I think he is a little bit. I don't know. I hope not, but I hope not.
I saw on the podcast the other day, he was saying that he would end your career. He doesn't know how to go lateral, up and down, but he would end your career.
Yeah, to be honest, what he was saying was, well, I understood, you know. He's got a big name. I'm a hard fighter. I know. I think I'm a big problem for a lot of these guys, and they know that. You know, he fought that Cody Brundage, and he, he felt him. He saw what I did to him. I broke him in a minute. So he knows how good I'd be. But yeah, I don't know. Like, he was good. It was like he was saying later, like, I understood because I'm not that big name. But then when he said, "Oh, I'm gonna end his career. I'm gonna bash him." Man, it's not about that. This guy, like, he's acting like he's like some scary dude. Like, relax. You got a big name. You won a few fights, but yeah, like that. That's when it's like, relax, mate. If you want to fight me, you know where to find me. All you got to do is pick up the phone and say, "I want to fight Jacob," because I'm pretty sure a lot of people want to see it.
Why do you think he pulled out?
He didn't pull out, man. He didn't pull out. I don't want to go along with that anymore. It was all bullshit.
I think it's a great fight. Like, you both fought Cody. I think you completely smashed it. What was your thoughts actually in that fight? Did you feel in the moment that you were hitting him in the back of the head?
I was bashing him, man. The guy wasn't doing anything, right? Like,
yeah.
It felt like he was waiting for the round to end.
Yeah.
To quit, or I don't know. It was weird because he went hard for a minute and I broke him. I felt him suck the life out of him. But then I remember he turned to his side and I went to throw the elbow, then he turned fast again to his knees. Man, and then you look at it, my forearm hit him in the back of the neck as well, really. So he was looking for a way out, but it's hard to deal with. I'm still not over it, to be honest.
No?
I'm not over it. But even after, I was like, man, why did that happen, man? But it is what it is. It is what it is. But
Do you think that set your career back at all, that fight? Because from the perspective of a fan looking at the sport, everyone knew you absolutely smashed him. So the controversy around all that, it seemed like you got more buzz, but then you did get that loss on the record. How do you feel after it?
Man, I remember I went back to the room and I was sitting there. I'm like, man, what the hell just happened? I was like, what the hell just happened now? But I don't feel that was a setback. It was more like everyone knew, like, I bashed him. But the only problem was I lost my money and got a loss on the record. That was the problem.
What do you mean you lost your money?
Oh, you don't get the win bonus.
Man,
I was smashing that. I was going to get it, so.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, it clearly looked like he was looking for a way out.
Yeah.
There's, like, no way around that.
But they say everything happens for a reason. I'm finding out that reason soon, hopefully.
I'm keen. And getting called into the UFC, was that always the goal?
I kind of never, like, had a... I want to make it. I kind of knew I was going to get there. You know,
yeah.
Like, I felt like just working hard and the team I had around me, I was going to get there. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, I want to get there. I was like, man, just relax. I want to get there sooner or later. Got in pretty early, I think. I was like, I was only 4-0, you know, so. And I used to think, oh, it's just a fight, but it's not just a fight. Like, all the cameras and the buzz about it affects you a little bit. And it showed in the debut, you know.
Yeah.
It showed. I wasn't ready. Then I came back from that. It was hard to come back, but I did. Honestly, it made me a different person.
What change did you make after that?
Like, it's just the mindset, you know. It was like these guys, it was more like before I was worried about them.
Yeah.
I was never worried about the guy I'm fighting before. But then when I made UFC, I was worried about him heaps.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what am I worried about these guys for, you know? Just worry about myself. I'm good. And, you know, like, obviously the coach is putting in my head how hard I work and all that. And man, it was even going into that, man, I just got knocked out that quick. And then they gave me a guy 10 first round knockouts. He's knocking out everyone, you know. Like, throw him to him, let Abdul Razak get another knockout victory. But I changed the plans, you know.
It feels like you keep getting, like, hard guys.
Yeah, I don't. In the beginning, I felt it was, but not now. It's just normal. I think I'm at that level. I don't think anyone's hard. Everyone's. I'm at that level now, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
Because that's the thing. It seems like each time you just come back and you evolve. Like, looking from a person watching it and looking in as a fan, it looks like you come back and you're a different fighter each time. Yeah. And even in your demeanor. Like, before, correct me if I'm wrong, before it seems like it was very respectful and it was, you know, the Gracie way, you know, the jiu-jitsu way of being, like, respect to the opponent. The last time you were, like, your celebration in itself had an aura to it.
I don't like the guy I'm fighting, you know. Like, even after. Like,
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't like
I can't him? Explain it. Like, I respectful shake their hand and stuff, but I don't want to, like, you know how they go for a drink after or their friend. Like, fought each other. If I lose, I don't want to see you. If I win, I don't want to see you either, you know. Just, like, go your way, I'll go mine. They bash each other, you know, like trying to take everything from me, and we're not friends. You know what I mean? We're not friends. You just stay your side, stay mine.
What's your thoughts on the last fight,
man?
Because you know, everyone like, you give me your thoughts on what you thought happened, because everyone was a bit shocked of what is going on here. I thought you caught him as he was coming in to your hip.
Yeah, I didn't know what happened, to be honest, in the fight.
Yeah.
Until after, like, I watched the video, man. He had like the doctor, when he was, because I had a stitch on my eyebrow, little stitch, so he did two. He goes to me, man, you should see your opponent, and he had like a massive cut on the top of his head.
He was fucked up.
Yeah, like a big, a lot of stitches. So I obviously hit him with that punch on the head.
Yeah.
I think so. I hit him, and he hit my hip.
Yeah.
I think it was the punch, but because it was like a little short.
It was. I saw it in the replay. As he's coming in, you can see. You do a short hit on top of his head, and then he hits your – he goes for the takedown, and he hits your hip, and then he sort of gets up and stumbles.
Yeah, exactly where I hit him with the punch is where the cut was. So like, and when I saw him falling down, I was like, man, what am I going to do? I was thinking I was running after him. I was going to do a flying knee. I was like, what am I going to do? And it's like, bang, kick him.
Bro, you came in and you just booted him, mate.
I did a stutter step. I was like, oh, shit, boom. Feeling, bro.
I was like, as soon as I happened, I was just like, we went off, eh? We went off, and we were just like celebrating it and getting that win, and then you getting up, and then what'd you say? You got up, and then you went off as well.
I don't watch myself after.
You don't watch your...
Like the celebration, I don't like to see it because I go nuts, eh? I can't help it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
Right. But that one you went more than previous, you know what I mean? Nuts. Like, you could tell that meant a lot.
Yeah. Because it was frustrating. Like, after my last... Before the Cody Brundage fight, I fought Nick Maximov, I won. And then... And I had like a year with a lot of injuries. I had back-to-back dislocated shoulder, like a lot of injuries. And then the Cody Brundage fight happened. I took a year off, had him, then got disqualified. Then I had to do a surgery after that fight. There's a lot of frustration, you know, build up. And, man, like before the week of the fight week, man, I had like heaps of anxiety, thinking about the fight, being uncomfortable. Man, the fight day, I remember it was like 2 p.m. We were leaving... We're supposed to leave to the arena at 4, right? I was like laying in bed at like 2:30. I'm like, that's it, man. I'm telling Alex, I'm not fighting. That's what's going through my head. I'm not fighting, not doing it. I don't care what he says. But if he tries to make me fight, I'm not fighting. And then like 5 minutes later, I started laughing at myself. I'm like, man, fuck, you're fighting, shut up, man.
You're fighting shit.
I was laughed at myself.
Yeah.
Man, the mind plays tricks, so yeah.
Yeah, no, Mike Tyson says that he is open about the fears, and like he is at one stage, he said that he's cried before going into the boxing ring. Like, what's that, where does that anxiety comes from for you, you reckon? Have you always been anxious going into a fight?
Yeah, I always overthink, you know, like before. And I'm always thinking, oh, I'm going to be uncomfortable. What's going to happen if he... I'm not scared of the guy. I'm not scared of getting knocked down. I'm not worried about anything, to be honest. I just don't want to lose. It's always in your head, oh, shit, what if he does this? I'm going to be uncomfortable here. But then it's crazy because I think about it so much. When I'm walking out, it feels like nothing. Because I'm thinking about it so much. And I walk out, I'm like, fuck, is this what this is? I go in the cage and I look at him. I'm like, man, I've been picturing him like some monster. But then it's like nothing when you're in there.
Does the anxiety and everything leave as you're walking into the stadium or when the cage closes?
For me, once I start warming up, my hands are wrapped. To be honest, I think like the nerves start settling down a bit. Yeah. But once I start walking out, like I feel I'm sweet. Like I'm not. I actually don't feel nervous when I'm walking out. As soon as the music hits, I go, I'm good.
Do you feel, is that only in MMA, or did you feel that in any jiu-jitsu or rugby when you were a kid or anything like that? Has always been there?
Yeah, like, man, I play rugby league. I remember, because I know that the guy I'm versing the team, I think about it all week. Oh, man, we got this team, got this team, got this team. But then once you're there, it's like, man, who cares? Yeah. That's how I've always been. But jiu-jitsu is funny, but before the matches, I'm more nervous than the fights. It's weird. Like, when I used to compete jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
In jiu-jitsu, you're more nervous than MMA?
Like, probably not the week before.
Before,
I'm nervous. It's weird.
Yeah, what is that? Like, what is it, just like something primal in us, or what do you think that those nerves come from?
I think with fighting, I know, like I'm in a different mentality, different state. Like, yeah. I'm ready to hurt someone, he's ready to hurt me, you know. But jiu-jitsu, I'm not, it's not like physical pain kind of thing. You're not trying to hurt the guy. So I feel like jiu-jitsu is more of a competition kind of thing. So my brain's like thinking about winning, losing, what are you going to do if you do this? Where fighting's like, man, I want to bash this guy. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, that's what it is.
Do you reckon it's more of a chess aspect to jiu-jitsu than MMA?
I don't think, I think MMA is like chess as well, but I think just the mentality is different, you know? Like, for me anyway, but there'll be like jiu-jitsu competitors who compete for like, yeah, that's their thing. Probably think, I want to smash this guy, you know. Yeah. For me, it's a bit different. I don't know. It's weird. Like, even boxing, I get a lot. When I used to do the boxing, I used to get heaps nervous. Maybe it's because I don't focus on it, you know. Not as confident.
You don't focus on it?
Like I'm doing MMA, I'm doing jiu-jitsu, I'm doing wrestling, I'm doing boxing, I'm doing kickboxing. I can't focus on one thing.
Maybe if I focused on
jiu-jitsu, I'm more confident when I walk in. I wouldn't be as nervous.
Yeah, I get you. I get what you mean. So I do have some questions for you, some rapid fire, right? That we want to get one sentence, like as quick of an answer as you can. All right.
I'll try my best.
All right. So and this is to the fighter. So I'll put out some questions of what people want to know. So these are some particular fighters in your weight division. And just some quick thoughts. And I'll rattle the name and then just punch him out. Yeah?
One word or one sentence?
One sentence. Just a quick thought on these fighters. What's your quick thoughts on these fighters? First one, Paulo Costa.
Big and muscly.
Paul Craig.
Want to fight him.
Do you want to fight Paul Craig?
I'd like to.
Okay. Why?
I think I'll bash him.
What, do you see some weaknesses or something?
No, he's got good grappling. I don't think he's going to do much to me in the grapple, but tall guy is a bit annoying, to be honest. He's got some tricky stuff, but I think my game's bad for him. And he's got a rank, doesn't he? I think so.
Yeah, he's 7th or 8th, around there. He's in the top 10.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to fight him.
Bo Nickel.
Want to bash him.
You just want to bash everyone, right?
I don't think too much of him, man. I don't think much about him. You got to give it to him. Good wrestling. He's got good wrestling.
Because he said, I'd like to pause right here real quick. We're going to get right back into the episode, but I'd like to put a pin here and just say thank you. Thank you to everyone that supports the show, has shared the show, has interacted with the show. The reason why we can get these high-level guests is because you guys support. And without your support, we couldn't get these guests. We may not even be a show. So truly, truly appreciate you guys. And this isn't a sponsorship plug or anything. I just wanted to pause here and say thank you. Let's get back to the episode. He said it wasn't like he suck or anything.
Like, man, he's pretty much saying, like, he knows I'm a hard fight.
Yeah.
But no recognition. He's saying it pretty much. Hard fight, no recognition. He's saying step lateral, but skill set wise, he knows I'm not a step lateral. I'm a step up.
Mm.
He knows.
Do you reckon there's nowhere to run? Like, at this stage, it seems like he has to take the fight or else he's just a bitch.
Well, everyone's saying they want to see it. And if he says, if it doesn't happen, it's not on my part.
What was the podcast, UFC podcast, that they were talking about it as well? Like,
I think Ariel Helwani asked him.
Right.
Ariel Helwani asked him. But if the fight doesn't happen, you know, it's their side, you know. If he wants it, he knows I'm going to take it whenever he wants.
Khamzat Chimaev.
Crazy guy.
Crazy.
Right? Rob's going to bash him.
Love it. Dricus du Plessis.
Tough as they come.
Tough as they come, you reckon?
I think so.
Why?
Man, he's willing. You see he's winning these fights. He's not more skilled than the guy, you know? You know, he comes in, he's willing to die. And what I look at him, what's good is what I want to get more of, to be honest, is he's not scared to get tired. He goes for it. You know what I mean? He doesn't care. He's like, I'm going to go and go and go until he puts me out, this guy.
Why do you think he has such a – it seems like it's such a stiff boxing style, but it works.
Yeah, he looks awkward, man. To be honest, he doesn't look that good. He's not – I don't think his skills are much better than anyone else either. I just think he's a fit, physical guy. He's tough, trains hard, and I think just that willingness to – just to go out on his shield is hard for people to deal with.
Yeah. No, I agree. I see him just run through it. Because every like, people have made a lot of money on Dricus. He's just, you know, he's always the sort of underdog. He appears on paper, but he just comes out on top all the time. And he's a decent fighter.
You see him against Strickland, man. Like, after that first two rounds, he was getting bashed. And he's like, you see in his face, he's like, man, what the hell am I going to do with this guy? But he found the way still, you know. He came and he won it.
Do you think he won that fight?
It was close. It was close. But because it's funny, eh? Like, I think he did win, but because Strickland was a champion, maybe they should get, I don't know. I think he won probably the three rounds.
What is your thoughts actually on the cards? Because on paper, I think Strickland outstriked him, but then they gave it to...
I didn't watch it. I remember when I was watching it, I was like, I think Driscus won. I didn't watch it again, like, focus on it too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, they always give it to the champion, like, benefit of the doubt. Maybe, I don't know. But I think I think they should have a rematch, maybe. I don't know. Or, but they're trying to save Driscus probably for Israel. I don't know what they're doing now.
Yeah. I think they're trying to get that fight together. It's just that mentality of continuing to go on. And so a lot of these high-level guys has it. And I think you have it as well. Your like nickname Mamba, that's Kobe, right? Is that where it's from? You did rugby. Why are you a basketball guy?
Man, it's funny because I used to just play NBA like 2K. I used to love him. Like, he started coming from there. Then one day I just came in. I'm like, they call me the Mamba. And everyone just started calling me Mamba. I was like, oh, it's gonna stick now.
Yeah,
but I do like him. But like his work ethic and stuff. You know what I mean? Just the way he is, and you just see that like, there's no bullshit with him. He just worked hard. Obviously, he was talented, but look at who's not talented in the NBA. So it's what sets him apart is that work ethic he has. So I feel like you can pass that into any sport, any job, anything you do. You work hard. Doesn't matter how talented you are, you're going to get somewhere regardless.
Yeah. And on his last NBA game, he got like one of the highest scores of his career.
60?
Yeah.
He hit 60 or 61?
Yeah. Like outrageous. Yeah. Like insane. LeBron's better, and so is Jordan.
You reckon? You think so? No, I think they are.
Right. LeBron's robotic. That guy is, I think he's not even human. I think he's just a cyborg. That guy just keeps going. I don't know.
Super high level, too.
Yeah.
Like, still like probably top 10. Like
it's outrageous.
I understand.
It doesn't make sense.
He's never injured.
He spends millions on recovery as well.
Yeah, you know? But, man.
I think he's got $10 million budget for
year. He's got 21, how many years? 21 years of mileage on his body.
Yeah.
I get it, but, man, what's he doing?
Yeah.
He's built different. I don't know what it is.
What's your recovery? What's your longevity? You want to do it? When you're aiming for that belt, like, what's the 5-year plan.
Honestly, I've been thinking like I want to retire 33. That's what I was thinking.
Well, like Jesus.
Doesn't look like it anymore.
Right.
Doesn't look like it, but that's what my number always was, about 33.
33 is when you're going to hit your peak.
I know, that's the problem. That's that. But that's the thing. You think it now, but then maybe that's when you're at the top.
Bro, 33, you're like right now, you destroy people. 33 is...
Khabib retired at 32, but...
Did Khabib retire at 32? Yeah, he came out too early.
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Like, I reckon he came out
too early. Nah, you reckon?
You don't reckon?
Man, he's like...
I reckon he can't, like... Who do you consider the... Who do you consider the top three of all time? It's a hard question, eh?
You got to put John Jones at number one.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Who's better than him?
Bro, he hit a pregnant lady in a car and ran away. What are you talking about? You're going to put him?
Yeah, but he's still the best. It doesn't matter.
He hasn't lost, That thing got... that loss that he had got overturned.
Disqualification?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure. All right, John Jones won. What else?
Probably could put Khabib number two.
Khabib number two. He fought no one.
Yeah, but look what he did at the end.
Yeah, was
that's what was crazy. He was running through him at the end.
Yeah, true.
Poirier, Gaethje, like, man.
True. Yeah. And he put that triangle to cap off the... Yeah, true. Yeah.
And probably...
And Poirier's not light work and... Yeah.
And probably put Silva there.
Yeah, I love Silva.
You have to put him there.
Yeah, I think if he didn't have that leg break, maybe he...
Demetrius Johnson too, you know?
Did you see that jiu-jitsu match with him and that big, his 110 kilo?
I put him over Anderson Silva. See how big that guy was?
Huge.
I don't know how he done it.
Huge. And then the guy tried to flip him over, and then, I don't know, he just switched his body, landed in side control. The guy tried to push him off. He was in side turtle, went over the top, grabbed the lapel, swinged it over, did the roll, and finished him. That is savage.
And I like how he talks about he likes gi jiu-jitsu more.
Oh, really?
If you see him, he talks about he likes jiu-jitsu. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, he's an absolute G. So that's your top three. That's it. Yeah,
I put him over Silva.
Over Silva.
I think so. I think Silva stuffed himself up at the end with his legacy. I feel.
Well, do you reckon because he got caught with the drugs, but it was because of his leg?
No, I feel like if he retired
a bit earlier,
before the Weidman fight,
yeah,
he'll be untouchable. That's why Khabib's smart.
Yeah. You know what I mean? True.
That's what I feel. Like John Jones loses now, like it stuffs him up a bit as well, I reckon. If he retired now, like he's the GOAT. But like if he fights Tom Aspinall and loses,
and I think Tom
he could
take
lose
him.
Too, yeah.
I reckon he can take it.
That's what I think. I think he can lose. He can lose. That's a hard fight, man. That guy's big, man. Tom Aspinall's big and he's fast.
Yeah, and
John Jones not the same. Doesn't look like he was at.
No, he's looking, bro. He's talk about someone who's likes a bit of food.
You know what's crazy about him and Gustafsson will probably every division evolves. You know, that division hasn't. It's like it was better before.
Stagnant.
Him, Daniel Cormier, they'll be the top three if you put him in now. Mm. It would beat them.
Daniel Cormier was always interesting. Like his size, you didn't think that he was going to do what he did, but every time he won, he destroyed, he walked through everybody apart from John Jones. But for his size and stature, like he's 6 foot, but in that weight category, it's I didn't think he would do what he did.
He's a problem, DC. I wouldn't want to fight something like that, you know. Man, because people think of it like height advantage, like it was like a big advantage, but man, he's short like a keg. What are you going to do to that guy? He has to punch down. The tall guy's got to punch down at him. So he's a hard guy to fight. He's grappling as well. But the problem was with him, I feel like he didn't use his wrestling at the end. You know what I mean? So he got a bit old. He probably didn't train it. Imagine if he came in at like 31, 32 MMA. I reckon no one would beat him. Mm. Like he came out when he stopped. His body couldn't push that wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he was always a weight above, right? Yeah. He fought at heavyweight at his size, and then he came down to lightweight. DC was a problem, bro. He was, he's a great commentator. Like, he's just good for the sport. Where, like, all-rounder, I know, yeah, John Jones is number one because he's just fighting. If you're talking just fighting.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about as a human, I don't know if he's up there.
And I think, you know, that trip I do against the cage, I kind of got it from, like, DC didn't use it as much against him, but I got it from him. Like, he used it a bit. I remember one day I was like, man, how did you do that? And I started doing it over and over again against the cage, and it started from him, from his takedown.
It looked like you guys were backstage, and it looked like you got along really well.
Because he was talking about versing me in a video game or something.
Yeah, NBA, I think.
NBA, yeah.
He wanted to take you on, and then you were like, I'll be Kobe, and then he said...
He got scared.
He got scared, yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, he was talking, because he was saying he'll be Houston. I'll be like, oh, I'll be the classic team, Lakers, 2001. He goes, no, you can't. I go, man, that's the team I play with, man. Pick whatever you want. He got scared, he didn't want to play anymore.
Did you have a wager on that, or what?
No, we were supposed to play, but we didn't end up playing. I remember he asked me, it was like a day before, 2 days before the fight. I was like, nah, I can't. But yeah. I should have played it, maybe. Maybe I would have got him.
Bro, he's I reckon, yeah. I want to see that. Stream it.
But I haven't played for a while. I mean, I'm scared. I was playing back then. Now I'm scared. I don't know if I'll win.
Right. So rolling back. Let's talk about, like, coming into MMA. Let's talk about the origin story. What made you even start training? What was your first martial art that you took up?
Because I was a fat kid and I was lazy. My dad wanted me to get fit, you know, to play footy. I was always a good player, but, like, because I was lazy, I couldn't get to the next level. But I was like, all right, get fit. We're going to put you in this MMA place. And then I started training there. And I don't know why in my head I was like, I want to fight straight away. You know what I mean? I was
just like, on the rugby field.
No, not on the rugby field. No, like where we put me in MMA.
Yeah, that was the first
martial arts. It was like a gym.
Oh, it was MMA itself.
Yeah, like MMA gym, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, I was probably like 16, 17.
Yeah.
I remember the first day I was there, he goes, all right, who wants to fight in, I don't know, a month, like a couple of months. I put my hand up, the coach just walked past me, like, these kids off his head, you know. He's like, what's wrong with this guy? But yeah, I don't know. I just was like, all right, I want to fight, but. It was good because we always had Rob around, so we knew the level. He was already in the UFC kind of thing. So I was like, and I always used to think, man, this guy's so good. How am I going to get there? Man, I'm training so much, I can't get there. Every day I train. I'm not going to get it. But I was like, just keep training. And, you know, that's what the mentality was, you know. I was just like, we've got to catch this guy.
Was your first gym with... these guys that you're with now, like, was it the first gym, Alex and Rob and...
No, it was at Gym PMA, it was called, like, in Padstow.
Yeah.
I used to train there. And Rob used to train there as well before.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, but Rob was, like, already... I think he was in the Ultimate Fighting Hours when I started training.
Yep.
Yeah, so... And then I think maybe... I don't know how long ago we moved to Alex's gym.
Yeah.
Smeeting range when the new gym opened here.
Yeah,
the old gym, I mean.
Yeah.
If I didn't meet Alex, I wouldn't be here, you know, at this level. Like,
what made you switch to his gym? Did Rob go as well at the same time? Like,
no, we started coming here for grappling because of jiu-jitsu wrestling. We wanted to get better jiu-jitsu wrestling.
Okay,
we didn't have
that
much there, so we started training here. And once I trained twice with Alex here, I was like, man, I gotta come here more often, you know. And then it just started growing from there.
Because it seems like he's, you know, he's got very top fighters. Like, you know, you got Rob, you got yourself, you got Izzy, who are at the top of the game. Was Izzy there as well at the same time as you guys?
No, Izzy came probably a year after I started there.
Yeah, gotcha. Because it's high level.
People look for, oh, this coach is better, this is better. Man, you work hard, whatever, you're going to get better as long as you work hard. Doesn't matter where you are. So you don't need these massive gyms and like going overseas with fighters. We got a little team and we just work, try to kill each other every day, and look where we are now. Still going too.
I hear you. And you do have a lot of, like, what's it called? Darren Till, he went over to Sweden. Like, you got all these fighters that move around the place. But you guys have, you know, kept a tight knit for years now, and you're top of the game, and it's a testament. And it's a testament of how Australia's has grown in MMA and also jiu-jitsu as well. Like, what's your thoughts on the landscape here now?
Yeah, I feel like we got a lot of fighters in the UFC now, and jiu-jitsu has got a high level too here, you know. So we do got a lot of athletes in Australia, and a good athletic group of people. Like, we've got so many different cultures and stuff, so many talented people. But I think for our team especially, it was more just like me and Easy more than just like, who cares where these guys are from, you know? Like, believe in yourself and the work we put in. Like, they say, oh, you're fighting a guy from Russia, Dagestan. Man, well, they don't bleed the same as us. Like, what's different? What do they got different to us? Like, well, because they're born over there. It wasn't like I got a silver spoon in my mouth. I'm working my ass off here. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's like what you do with your work. That's what annoys me a lot when someone says, oh, because I was fighting like a Russian. I was like, oh, you're fighting a Russian guy. They're different. They're grappling. I'm like, man, I'll smash this guy. What's he going to do to me? Like, well, because he's from Russia, Dagestan. Doesn't matter. Who cares? There's only two Dagestan Russian guys that are Islam and Khabib. But it doesn't mean the whole group. Does that mean I'm Rob? I'm not Rob. Rob's there. Just, you know what I mean?
I get you. And it is this weird aura that they have. Do you reckon we got any of that? Like, do you reckon these Dagestanis are going to be like, we're fighting these Australians there?
Yeah.
Insert line. What do you reckon?
Maybe we're starting to build something. It's not just the Dagestan. It's like all of them. Like, oh, you're fighting a guy from this team. It's just, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Liverpool and all of these. Yeah, it's like
they don't know what Bankstown and Liverpool's about. No one knows about that. But yeah, nah, maybe we're starting to build, man. Because we got a lot of all of these Australian fighters doing well now. You know,
they are, and like even the
boxing too. Like Tim Zoo, Kambosu, yeah. A lot of good boxers coming out of here too. So they always had good boxers coming out of Australia, though.
What's your thoughts on the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight?
I didn't watch. I seen the highlights, but I seen.
You didn't watch it.
No, I didn't watch it.
How do you? So you don't? You don't watch boxing? Like, that's a massive fight. Like, for, like, I thought you would have been all over that.
I don't watch like fighting too much. Like, I watch it, but I don't take. Like, I won't go out of my way. You know. You know what I mean? I won't go out of my way to watch the UFC.
You won't go out of your way to watch the UFC. What do you mean?
I won't plan a day about watching.
Every Sunday, you don't, like, me and the boys, we're like, no. All right, so we're each Sunday, and Australia's perfect. It's midday on Sunday. Like, yeah. Just go, like, we go to the pub or, you know, have a barbecue, and then that's the Sunday. It's like the Sunday, like, ritual thing. You don't do that?
Like, even, like, UFC 300, I was like, man, I want to watch it, but I had to go to a lunch. So I have it on my phone, I'm watching it, talking. So. But, yeah, like, I don't plan, like, oh, I got to watch it, but. But I always watch fights because I like watching fights to see what people. It's good to see what different people, like people, are doing. You know,
yeah.
Like, man, you have to always be a student of the game. So, yeah, but I won't play in my day about a UFC card or boxing.
Yeah, well, so what was your thoughts in the aftermath? Because it probably came around your feed of the Garcia and Haney fight.
Yeah, like they're all saying he's drinking. Man, no way that guy was.
Do you reckon he had everyone on? He was just like lying.
Yeah, he was
throughout.
Yeah, he was playing.
Because he was talking some wild shit. Like he was talking about like Bohemian Grove, and he was talking about like he was saying that he was drinking and partying every weekend.
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
You don't reckon? It was just for the show. His Instagram got locked out, and he couldn't get in his Instagram. He was saying that his credit card was taken over, and that he couldn't get into his bank account.
Has he ever been a crazy guy, but before this fight?
No, he's like a TikToker, eh?
Yeah, but he's never been a guy like who drinks every day and parties. You know what I mean? He's always been like that fit guy,
yeah,
training and stuff. So
yeah,
man, I don't know. He fooled everyone because everyone thought he was drinking and all that, but. I don't think he was. Or maybe he's like a freak. I don't know. He's a freak, but like, maybe he's like John Jones.
Yeah.
Like those guys, you know, there's in those sports, is like Maradona and.
Yeah, that can just like rail lines and then just compete. And
if I drink on a Saturday, I'm done until Wednesday. Can't move. I have to stay away from all of it.
I hear. But yeah, he could be just, he could be a freak, but he probably had everyone on because he did a PBD podcast lately and he did say that, he has footage before saying that he was planning all of this out and he was going to, you know, say all this wild you know, wild shit to, because he also had the back end.
He bashed him, but dropped him heaps.
Destroyed. Like six times, and I think three actually counted, but he dropped him six times.
I seen him like looking for like, looking at the corner, like stop the fight, you know?
Yeah.
He's a tough dude, Devin Haney, though. Kept coming, eh?
Bro, Haney, that's the thing. Haney's such a good fighter. It was just weird that he, it looked like it was so easy for Garcia. It didn't really make sense.
But Lomachenko beat,
I think so.
I watched that fight.
Yeah, I think so as well.
He beat him. I remember I couldn't believe they gave Devin Haney that fight.
Yeah, that was a robbery.
He bashed him.
Yeah. Lomachenko won that fight hands down.
I couldn't believe that. That decision was bad.
When you're fighting, are you listening to the corners? Like your opponent's corner, what they're saying?
Man, it's weird. I can hear him, but like I don't listen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can hear him. I'm not really paying attention. I hear what they're saying, but like it's weird. I know what they're saying, but I'm not really paying attention to what they're saying. I'm always listening to what Alex is saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Alex is loud too, so you can hear everything.
Yeah, you can, even through the TV, you can hear
him. And he knows me so well, so it's like, as soon as he says something, I know what he wants me to do.
Yeah.
Anything, because he knows me so well, so I just, as soon as he says something, I'll go and do the same thing he wants me to do. But yeah, it's weird. Like I hear their corner.
So if you're...
I do hear the corner, yeah. I can hear wrestle and head. Like, actually, I did hear it.
Run us, like, for someone that's never been, like, you know, in a UFC cage fight, run us through your thoughts going into the cage, and when you're in the fight, what is like going through your head and what you're listening to, what are the key aspects? Like, is it only your corner? You can hear some of their corner. Can you hear the commentators? Is the crowd too loud? Is it like a focus that comes in and the sound muffles down? Like, it's run weird, us through the thoughts inside of you.
It's weird,
eh?
Because like, I always think, don't lose focus, you know. But like, when I was walking out this time, I remember, because I changed my walkout song, I was like, man, because I was a bit superstitious. And I was like, man, did I stuff up? Because my other walkout song, I got disqualified. I'm like, man, I don't want that one anymore. When I was walking out, I was like, man, maybe I'm going to lose now because I changed my walkout song. That's what I was thinking when I was walking out. But then I always like the fight week, I always have like a phrase I'm going to put in my head and I repeat it to myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So just to say it. Like when I'm thinking about something else, I just say the same phrase.
What was your last phrase?
I was like too fast, too strong, too skilled. I just kept saying it to myself, saying it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I walked in. Man, the first thing I thought when I walked in, I was looking around, I was like, man, I was nervous all this time for this. Like, this is nothing. I looked at him. I remember my dad always says to me, he goes, man, why are you stressing, man? It's just sparring. It's like sparring, but you're going harder. You're trying to hurt him. It's only different. And in my head, I was thinking, man, he's right, this guy, man. It's just like a sparring match. That's what it felt like. I was like, but obviously not sparring. But
yeah.
Trying to kill the guy. But yeah. But yeah, that's what I was thinking, but. It is easy to, especially in the UFC, because, man, they make, it's like a big show. They make
spectacle.
Like, they make it like a big deal, but you have to understand, like, it's like you're fighting, like I used to fight in Punchbowl Croatian Club when I was in the local scene, you know? Mm. What's the difference? The only difference is probably a harder guy, obviously, but the only difference is all the hype, the media, but at the end of the day, you're doing one thing, you're fighting. So, like, that's, you got to put it in perspective. And another thing what helps is, like, I've lost it all bad ways. Like, I've lost by a knockout. I've lost, got robbed. Not robbed, but bad decision, I feel.
Yeah.
And then they got disqualified. Like, what can be worse? I came back from that. Like, what's going to be worse than that? You know, it's just go and fight and who cares?
It's that time, eh? It's that...
experience kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's the, and you've been through each step now. And then, yeah, it's... It does seem like you've reached a new level. Yeah. Like it as a fan looking at the sport, as a fan of you, it just looks like you've just taken not only your skill, but just the aura itself. You're like, you know, you're meant to be there. You know, you can run through these guys, and we can see that. And it was interesting. Like, it was interesting to hear the like anxieties and, you know, the vulnerabilities as well that you put into it. And because it's not like another sport. Like,
Yeah, it's a lot of...
It's a lot of mental hurdles that you'd have to go through, right?
Yeah, I feel like all the sports have the anxiety, the nerves and all that type of stuff, but like the only difference is that we know we can get hurt, you know?
Mm.
I feel like every sport's hard, like at a high level, but the only difference with our sport is you know you can get hurt bad and it's just you versus him and it's like, man, you're taking your shirt off and you're fighting a guy. Like it's not like there's no comfortable spot in that cage, you know?
It's as primal as it gets.
You got to find comfort, but like, I don't think it's the hardest sport in the world, but definitely like I feel at this level where I'm at now, it's like a lot more mental than, because I know I'm going to work hard and train and be good, but I feel like the will to win and the mental side can get you to that next level. That's what I think I need to keep working on, you know?
Are you one of those guys that works with sports psychologists?
No, I don't really work on it. I think it's just, for me, it's just more myself, you know? To be honest, I like feeling the fight week, I like feeling uncomfortable and nervous because it makes me know I'm ready, you know?
The anxiousness.
I don't like it at the time, but like it gets me ready. So when I'm there, it's like, I've already thought about the worst things that can happen. It's not that bad.
What's your diet like?
Out of camp or in camp?
In camp and out of camp.
In camp, like what I've been doing now, I've been trying to stay lighter so when the fights do come, I'm ready, like it doesn't need to take that long.
Mm-hmm.
So these last camp, I was eating heaps, like, and my weight kept dropping. It was funny. Like, but always it's the same kind of thing. Like I have eggs, I have a lot of eggs with toast, jam.
Every morning?
Yeah, what I'll do is like I'll box, when in camp I'll box and I'll go back. I don't like to eat before I train.
Mm-hmm.
I train like on coffee or something and then I'll come home, have four eggs, four toasts with jam.
Four eggs and four toasts?
Jam toast.
With jam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll come to the and I have another coffee, probably cappuccino.
Yeah, I go cappuccino too. That's the way.
Then I'll come to the 2 p.m. session. Then I'll, after that, probably have like a big can of tuna, 250 grams of rice.
Okay.
And then at night I have like a steak, a ribeye,
nice.
250 grams of rice, and probably a few eggs as well.
More eggs.
And probably a liter of coconut water and a protein shake, something like that. I eat a fair bit, to be honest.
Yeah, that is a fair bit. Yeah. A lot of eggs as well.
I never used to be able to eat like that, but because I'm staying lighter out of camp, I feel like when I'm in camp, because I'm training hard, I can eat more.
The reason that I asked that is because your body transformation's also been massive since the start till your last fight.
Yeah, I feel like, because I used to blow out a bit, and it used to be harder to make the weight, so I used to have to eat much less.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been training, because a lot of, just accumulation of training and stuff. I don't got the best body genetics, like, everyone I fight's probably got a better body than me, but not as strong.
Yeah, when you grab guys, it just doesn't seem like it's the same strength. So you're not like,
I don't count calories and stuff.
Yeah. Like, you don't go like, I do paleo, I do pescatarian, I do carnivore, or...
I don't know those. I don't know carnivore. I don't know the other two. What the hell are they? Is that a day diet?
Yeah.
Nah. They are?
Yeah.
Nah, I thought it was just carnivore and vegan. Vegetarian. That's just the other one.
So you thought there's just the two extremes?
Man, I thought it was like just two, three. That's it. Yeah, I don't know. Keto, I knew. That's it. What's that? Pescatarian. What's that?
That's the ones that just eat. They're like vegetarians, but they eat fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
even know. Bro, but yeah, body composition's interesting. Who do you want next? Who do you want next? If Bo Nickel is clearly backing out, he's being a bit of a coward regarding that fight, who would you like if he doesn't sign the contract?
The thing is, man, all the guys on top of me are like, they're all matched. I've got a few fights. I wouldn't mind fighting that Jared Mershon. I wouldn't mind fighting. Paul Craig, I was saying I'd like to fight. Anthony Hernandez, I'd like to fight. He's 15th, I think. No, I think he's like 12th, actually.
Yeah, he's gone up.
I'd like to fight him. Brendan Allen, I'd like to fight again. Probably a fight away from him, you know. I still have to win, probably. I'd like to fight him again, get that rematch. But to be honest, I don't really care. Like, I was putting that Bo Nickel thing out, like, just for fun, you know. But
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care who I fight. I've never asked for anyone. I just fight whoever they give me. But now I want to fight him because he's saying he thinks he can end my career and all this stuff. Now I really want to fight him, but I don't know. We'll see. I don't really care, to be honest.
What's your dad think is where you're at now? Like, what's his thoughts?
Now, my dad still tells me stop fighting and and get a proper job. He told me that last week.
You're in the UFC.
I swear to God, he hates it. My dad always does it. He's like, man, if you did plumbing, you would have your own business. It'd be good. Like, he always tells me, man, don't about fighting. Dangerous, man. Go do that. Better. Get your own career. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, man, you'd went to uni, man. Go do something, your degree. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm doing the UFC. He goes, man, I don't like the fighting. My man, you put me in MMA. What's wrong with you? He has yet to get fit, but.
I love it. Now, I appreciate the time. I really do, my brother. It's been a pleasure, and it's always great to see you.
Thank you.
Great to see the team and everyone working hard here. And, yeah, it's only continue blessings and ways up for you. I see it. And,
thank you, brother.
Yeah,
you too, all the best as well.
You're appreciate
well.
It.
You're doing
appreciate
well as well.
Appreciate it, brother. Spin the 5-8 take. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment. 5-star ratings across Spotify if you're listening to us on there, and also on Apple Podcasts if you're listening to us on there. If you're on iHeartRadio, make sure to click the subscribe there too. We really appreciate it. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5-8 take.